Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Sorry this is going up a tad late. I've been running around this morning, but glad to be back. And as always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you for tuning in, downloading, streaming, however you listen. I appreciate it. So thank you. Continue to support me. So please tell your friends, coworkers, enemies, therapists, mailman, landscaper. Tell somebody about my podcast. Please. I need the help. Please. I'm dying over here. But seriously, appreciate it. But I'll start with my milestone. For those who don't know, I have a six-year-old son named Miles. And I like to do these milestones, but every week, you know, no matter how big or small, I kind of like to just mention or document what he's got going on. But he's gone for the summer. He's with my parents. We dropped him off week before last, and he's having a great time. The day my wife and I drove back here to Charlottesville, they flew out to Orlando, and he's been down in Orlando at a resort. Living the life, okay? All right? Black boy Joey. He is at a resort. He's eating fruit, macaroni and cheese, fruit snacks. He's at the pool. He's going to the beach. They went to SeaWorld. He's living it up. He's got a tan. I mean, he looks like a little Punjabi kid now. I don't even know if that's my son. He's very dark. He's very toothless, and he's having a good time. And I've only spoken to him once so far. He does not give a shit about dad. That's the thing. No one cares about dad. Have I said that before? No one gives a shit about dad. That's why dad's funerals are so sad, because it's like, you know what? We really didn't pay attention to this motherfucker our entire lives, even though he worked every day, gave us the best, and we took it for granted. And you know what? That's the role of a guy. That is the role. All right? Like all this equality shit they're talking about now, it's just like, y'all don't really want equality. But you know what? Let me stop first. So that's the milestone. He's in Orlando. They're going back tonight, back to Rochester. I'll see him next week because I'll be there. But he's having a great time. He's swimming. He's with his cousins, having fun. All right, back to the equality. That's the thing, lady. Yeah, you don't want equality. This is what you want. And this is, to be honest, all this shit that's going on, this is a fucking white woman issue. This is some of the best advice your black grandparents could ever give you is, stay out of white folk business. That's exactly what all this shit's about. White women are fed up. And there's too many white dudes that have too much ego, and they can't bend the knee a little bit. That's why black dudes get away with a lot of shit. It's just like, a lot of black dudes fuck up, but at the same time, we are very, we bow down to black women in a heartbeat. Like, my bad. A lot of white dudes can't be like, all right, I fucked up. They're not used to it. They're not used to bending a knee to a woman. There's a lot of ass kissing when it comes to women in the black community. We do recognize that they go through a lot of shit, but we also attribute a lot to their fucking strife. We really do. And I think that's why there's so much like ass kissing, I guess reverence. Because it's like we love our aunties, our mothers, our grandmothers, but it's just like, we were really going to do some dirty shit to somebody else's aunt or sister or mother, to be honest. Let's be real here. But there are good black dudes out there. But I digress. For the last couple of years, you've been hearing all this toxic masculinity, white women talking about all the evil shit that white men do, how awful it is. But here's the thing. That's what they want. They don't want equality. They want to be able to get away with all the fucked up shit that they say men get away with. All right, Like they want to be able to be shitty CEOs and bosses and all that kind of stuff and not be called a bitch. They just want to be called, you know, cutthroat or, you know, a hard-nosed businesswoman. They want all the negative shit that guys get away with, all the stuff that they say we do, how we are. Y'all just want that shit. Y'all don't want all the other stuff. Y'all want the pay and you want to be shitty. That's why I say a lot of people, they want change, but they don't want to be the change. Because you will see an article about some woman doing some awful shit, and the first thing all these feminist motherfuckers say is, hey, well, Trump did it, or this guy did it. And it's like, well, yeah, you didn't like it when he did it, now you're fucking trying to justify her doing it by saying a guy did it, and you said you hated it. That's all you want. You just want to be able to be as shitty as the shittiest guys and it not be an issue. That's what it is. This is a white woman, white man situation going on right now. And everybody else is getting fucking caught up in the wake of y'all shit. It's like y'all going through a divorce and white women, they want half of America. This is a custody battle for America. So that's what it is. All these woke white chicks. You say, you're not going to be any better. Let's be honest. You're not. You talk about how awful white people are. It's like, hello, you're fucking white. How are you different? You say white people are awful. You're white. You're different. You always tell them black people don't trust white people. Why the fuck should we trust you? You're white. Remember? The white women are some of the most clever beings on the planet. Y'all have almost convinced people you're not even white anymore. And then, y'all, these woke white chicks, y'all fucking rope black dudes into the shit. You know how? By dating black dudes. That's what you do. All right? You'll go off on some white guy, some conservative white dude, call him a piece of shit, fuck you, white men ain't shit, y'all fucking rapists, y'all calling out, y'all do all this shit, and then when he all said and done, you go, come on, Jamal, let's get out of here, Jamal. And you think that white dude is mad at you now? No. He see this white woman walking off with this nigga, now he mad at the black dude. After you don't talk shit. Come on, Jamal. Right there, boom. He's focused on Jamal, and you got to talk the most shit out of everybody. And yeah, that's what it is. I can't trust it. I can't trust you woke white people too much. It's too convenient. There's more to this, but I won't say it on this podcast. It's a face-to-face conversation. It's weird, man. It's almost like with the culture we're in now, it's almost like we got to be like Pauly from Goodfellas, where it's just like no phone call. You can't write shit down. You got to have sit downs. Because if you record it or write it down or text it, it's coming back to bite you right in the fucking ass. So there's shit just better off just being said live. And deny. I'm trying to watch this. I don't know. But sorry for that rant. I think that was a pretty good rant. I liked it. I thought it was pretty dope. I thought it was pretty dope. But yeah, it's just been busy this last week. We went and dropped him off. Came back here. I was back on tour with the 22 tour this past week. Crystal Ramey puts it together. It's an organization that they do comedy shows, and they donate money to get veterans who are feeling not well mentally some help. I guess they say on average 22 service members commit suicide a day. Not to bring it down, but so that's what the shows are for, to bring awareness to that. And all the money goes to these programs and directly to the veterans. And we did Richmond on Tuesday night. It was a small crowd, but they were a lot of fun. We had a good time. So did anything happen that night? Nothing really happened. other than like Crystal, she's a great person. She's still trying to figure it out. But man, at the top of the show, it was like 20 minutes of like stats about suicide. And it was just sad. It's like, we got to switch this up. It's like, we're here for a good cause, but Jesus, we want to have a good show, you know? And then they left the little screen down in the back. So behind my head the entire time I'm on stage, you just see the word suicide, which can't be great for comedy. But I made fun of that. They didn't like it. But overall, it was a good show. We had a good time. And then the next night, we were up in Virginia Beach. So I came back home, and then I rode out to Virginia. Oh, yeah. I have never locked myself out of my house ever until Tuesday. And it was one of those classic cases of literally as I'm closing the door, I was like, your brain was like, hey, man, you don't have your keys. Click, and I just closed it anyway. Luckily, my wife was able to come and bring me her keys to let me back in the house, but I've never done that. It was just like, I got a paid gig, and of course this would happen now. I've never done it before. So next morning, get up, hit the gym, shit, whatever, head to Virginia Beach, nice little drive. Hampton is a beautiful area. Virginia Beach is a nice area. I had so much fun at that club. That show was fun. It was a nice crowd, nice little crowd. But dude, I gotta be honest, I had more fun talking shit with the staff, House and Chris and a couple other dudes. We had so much fun, man, and it just reminded me of my beginning days at the Dayton Funny Bone. The staff there was just, they were so much fun. And back then, so we all kind of came up together. Eventually, a friend of mine who was, you know, she was a bartender server. She ended up working her way up to the GM for a while. She decided to move on. But yeah, it was just, it kind of reminded me of those days where we all just, everybody was laughing, joking around. Just, it was to the point where like, I was like, man, I kind of don't even want to go on stage because I'm having so much fun with the staff. But I had a great time. I really got to get down to that Virginia Beach Funny Bone. If you listen to my podcast and you live in that area, you got to go. The staff is dope, man. That can really make a weekend even more fun, is when you have a staff that likes what they do and they like to talk to the comics and you can have fun. Because I work some clubs where you can tell this is definitely just a part-time job for people, and they don't want to be bothered. You know, they don't want to hang out afterwards, or they don't want the comics hanging out. They shut the bar down because most comics like to just hang out after the show for a little bit, maybe have a couple of drinks, just decompress in the green room, talk about the show, maybe run some bits. You know, some comics who weren't on the show who live in town might come hang out for a while, kind of decide what we're going to do, hit a bar, hit a diner. But yeah, these some clubs, man, it's just like when it's time to shut it down, they shut it down and they want you out of there. But not these guys, man. They kept the bar open. Everybody was just having a good time. I was going to drive home that night, but my wife didn't want me to because it's like 3 hours. So I ended up just staying at the condo with Crystal and Anthony Crawford, who was the other comic. And he's super funny. Crystal's super funny. But it was just nice. So we all got to hang out. We went to a Keegan's afterwards. It's right across the street. And I've never been to one of these places in Virginia, but they have a completely different smoking section, and you know, they're big smokers. So we went and sat in cigar and cigarette smoke for 3 hours. I almost got food poisoning. I ordered some honey bourbon wings, and I was eating it. It was real smoky and dark in there, so I really couldn't tell. I was like, man, this shit, it seems a little too pink. I thought I was tripping. I thought it was the smoke and the lighting. And then I ate one. It was like real tacky on the tongue. I was just like, man, this shit can't be right. So I had to have somebody else look at it. And they were like, yeah, dude, this is fucking almost raw. So that sucked because I really want the wings. I ended up getting some crab bisque. Shit was great. Some salad. But so we had a good night. I got up, Thursday morning, came home. But yeah, we had a good time with the tour. The 22 tour, check it out if you can online. And there should be a place to donate. So if you would like to donate money to help veterans get help, you know, to deal with mental or physical issues, please check that out and donate. All of the proceeds go to the veterans. There's no, you know, it's not one of these weird nonprofits where you got the leader of the whole thing fucking driving a Mercedes, even though they technically don't get paid. You know, no one's really making a lot of money on this at all, because all of it goes to, again, the veterans, which is well deserved. So yeah, that was fun. That was my weekend. Tonight in Charlottesville, I'm doing my the after show. I'm super excited. I love that show. So that I got that tonight. There was something else. It just slipped my goddamn mind. It just slipped my goddamn mind, people. What the hell was it? I can't have any dead air. I can't do it. I guess I'll just say this now while I try to figure out what it was. I'm so excited. So next Tuesday, I'll be going to New York City to do a live podcast with my two buddies, Mark Norman and Joe List. And they have a super popular podcast. If you haven't checked it out, it's called Tuesdays with Stories. It's at the Village Underground, which is one of the Comedy Cellar stages. And I mean, all I can say is, like, I'm honored to do the show. I mean, Mark and Joe are two comics that I look up to. I respect them. They're doing all the stuff I want to do. And, you know, they work all the clubs and stages that I would love to work and play in my career. And when Joe asked me to do it, I thought he was kidding around. And he was just like, no. And I, like, got my train ticket immediately. And even though it's not stand-up, but the fact that I'll actually be on a Comedy Cellar stage is downright unbelievable. You know, as a comic starting off in Vegas, you hear about Colin Quinn's and, you know, even though this dude's took a weird turn, but like the Nick DiPaolo's, Jim Norton's, Patrice O'Neill's, you know, O&A, and they're talking about the Cellar. Even though it's not the same exact stage, that's the McDougal location. But the fact that they play these places all the time, and here I am, you know, 10 years later, going to be on a Comedy Cellar stage doing a live podcast with two of my good friends, one of the hottest comedy podcasts in the country right now. It's a huge honor, man, to be able to do it. And I'm so excited. I can't wait. The only thing is, it just kind of sucks that it'll all be over, you know, soon. But I can't wait. So if you happen to be in the New York City area and you would like to go, just go to the Comedy Cellar webpage. And it's Tuesday at 8 o'clock at the Village Underground. And I'm almost speechless. I cannot believe that I'm going to get to do this. And I'm hoping it goes well. I want to make sure I'm loose. I'm ready to riff. You know, pass some good lines. I'm not going to try to force anything. I just want to have fun. And it's just, again, to just, I keep saying it, but I'm at a loss for words. It's a huge honor. I mean, I would have never thought in a million years that I would be able to even do something like this. I mean, start in Vegas, you move to Dayton, you know, you're working bar shows, and you finally get some club stuff. And over the years, you Comedy Cellar, New York City. And here I am actually getting the opportunity to be funny on one of those stages. And I'm genuinely fucking honored and almost dumbfounded at the fact that this is going to happen for me and to me. And I can't thank those guys enough. But yeah, so if you're in the area, please come out. Go to the Comedy Cellar website. Check it out. And then later that week, I will be at the Carlson, Comedy at the Carlson in my hometown, Rochester, New York, with Mark Norman, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Five shows, one on Thursday, two on Friday and Saturday. It should be fun. It will be fun. So please check out the Carlson Comedy webpage. Get tickets to the show if you're in Rochester. We'll see you then. There's a show. That's a show. Follow my Instagram and Twitter, Chris Allen Comedy. I'm out. Peace.